You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit founded on the belief that every pregnancy deserves a happy ending. Learn more at starlegacyfoundation.org. Our guest for this episode is Nicole Alston. Nicole is the founder and executive director of the Sky Foundation, a New Jersey-based nonprofit organization which was established in memory of her daughter, Sky, who was stillborn in 2005. Since then, Nicole has spoken to audiences internationally about providing comprehensive psychosocial support for families who are grieving the death of a baby. Nicole works with families who have experienced miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant death, providing comfort, ensuring that they are not alone, and helping them realize the hope of restoration. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
My first question for you is very general and broad. How did you become involved with pregnancy and infant loss in the first place?
Well, Chris, it's very interesting. I became involved with pregnancy and infant loss because, well, first of all, I'll say that I think for most of us in this field, the plan was to get pregnant and have a healthy baby. That was the plan. The infant loss part is something that I really never raised my hand for. So my journey to becoming pregnant and having a family with my husband, first I had a miscarriage and then I had a stillborn baby. So that's how I became involved because the plan somehow changed and I became an advocate.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me. And I guess my next question for you is what advice do you offer to women of color who are pregnant or planning to become pregnant? Do you have any suggestions for their partners or their extended family?
Yes, I do. I would say that to the extent that you can, there's a quote, go where you're celebrated and not tolerated. And I may not be using that quote exactly word for word, but that's kind of what I get out of it. You know, I would suggest that people find a good provider, find someone who shares your values, find someone with whom you feel comfortable, find someone who will listen to you and won't be dismissive. Somebody takes you seriously when you feel something isn't right with your body or your baby. This is a really big decision. And I can use my own experience. I had the privilege of choosing my provider. That's not something everybody has, but I did my research. I'm pretty fanatical about things like that. And I found a wonderful doctor who was skilled. We shared the same values. We were able to talk about things other than the pregnancy. I felt we had a really good connection. And so even though we had to say goodbye to our baby, Sky, I can remember through my tears afterwards writing him a letter. And I wanted to absolve him of any guilt because we had this relationship. And I knew he did everything he could have done, down to even bringing water to my family and friends in the waiting room, who came to support myself and my husband and the rest of us after it had been determined that Sky no longer had a heartbeat. So these things are really important. I'll say part B of that is that if you're in a situation where circumstances prevent you from being able to drive 30 minutes to the provider of your choice, or for whatever reason you're limited to going near where you live, and it's not ideal, demand the best care. If you find that you're not receiving the care you deserve, don't be afraid to escalate things. Go to the head of the department. Go to the head of the hospital. I had a client I worked with in perinatal loss who was very young, but she wasn't afraid to challenge the status quo. I really admired her for that. And so she wrote the president, and her situation really, it was on their radar. So if you don't feel comfortable with expressing yourself in that way, don't be afraid to ask someone you know for help to help you with that. Those would be my suggestions.
It seems like so many people who go to the doctor and go to the hospital and are part of the American health system, health network, feel like they don't have control. You go to the doctor, you tell them what your problem is, and they tell you what to do. A lot of the things that you're suggesting is suggesting that the patient has more control than they might think. Can you talk about that a little bit? And it sounds like there's a message of empowerment for women patients who are pregnant.
Yes, for women patients, particularly African-American women patients, who may not feel as comfortable saying, saying what they want, and in front of a provider. And it is a vulnerable position. Even as much as I have said to people, it's kind of taken a lot for me to get myself there. I would suggest, there's one thing that I think that it kind of rings true for all of us, many of us mothers: tap into that mama bear. When you tap into that mama bear, you're going to find that there's going to be a whole, I've seen people who, were very quiet. But when mama bear comes out, it's a totally different story. So if you tap into that part of yourself, you're going to feel more comfortable and say, wait a minute, I'm not feeling comfortable with this. Or even taking someone into the appointment with you who can speak and say the things that maybe articulate some things that you don't feel comfortable about. There's nothing wrong with that. And it is your choice. And you do have a part to play and a role to play in this. And you're a very important and valuable part of being at that table.
Nicole, your story is so unique. You've experienced both a miscarriage and a stillbirth. And I'm wondering, what were you doing with your life before you went through these experiences? And how has it changed since then?
Yes, before I had my miscarriage and stillbirth, I was in corporate America. So I was not doing anything like this. My undergraduate degree is in marketing. And so I was doing corporate relocation consulting and dealing with international expatriates. So I had no idea that this wasn't even on my radar that I would be in this kind of field doing grief work. I was doing a lot in the community. I was volunteering. I was working with at-risk children. So that's true. I did a lot of community work as a volunteer, but no, I was in a totally different field.
So what suggestions would you offer to health professionals who encounter women of color who are expecting?
The suggestions I would offer to health professionals who have patients who are women of color is to be honest with yourself about what you have in front of you in terms of the patient in front of you. Be honest with yourself. How do you feel about this? Because a lot of times the feelings that you have that you may not feel are very obvious do shine through in your interactions. Two, I would say that it is, I believe research has shown that it really is helpful to begin to try to see your patient as, maybe someone you're related to. Taking the time to learn about different cultures. You may find that there are a lot more similarities than differences. And these are for people who may feel that there are a lot of differences. And the human aspect, I think we have to address that. I know in one situation, a very unfortunate situation where a young lady had experienced the death of her baby, she had gone to the sink in her hospital room and saw the baby in the sink. So, I mean, these are just things that these are easy things that we can kind of avoid and we should avoid if we just think the human aspect is considered. So we have to consider that, those things.
For families who have experienced a stillbirth or other pregnancy loss or infant death, how is that experience different or the same for African-American families compared with families of other backgrounds?
Well, I feel in many ways it's the same, and in many ways it's different. So in terms of it being the same, that experience being the same, sad is sad. So if we are to address emotional pain, the issue of emotional pain for families who have experienced a stillbirth, I'd say it's the same. I mean, grief and the searing emotional pain that follows a stillbirth is really, really tough. I don't care who you are. It is quite different in many ways because oftentimes African Americans are dealing with other interrelated factors. So, for instance, I had a family I was working with. They had a stillbirth. At the same time, they're having a stillbirth. And someone else in the family, they're experiencing another loss at the same time. So I'd say that, and these are just my observations of families, a lot of the families that I've worked with, they have not had the chance to even process the last traumatic event before they're hit with the next, and then comes the stillbirth. So I would say that that's one of the ways in which this experience can be very different for African Americans.
So you experienced your miscarriage in 2003 and your stillbirth in 2005. And I'm just curious, anecdotally, since you work with so many families that have experienced this as well, if you've noticed anything that has changed since then, just in from a societal perspective, has the stigma been removed a little bit? Are we making progress in any direction, or is this pregnancy loss space that we work in largely the same as it was 15 years ago from your perspective?
I'm seeing some similarities and I'm seeing some changes, Chris. For one, I do see a lot more in terms of the changes. I see and hear a lot more about stillbirth. I see that there are more people kind of fighting the good fight. I do see that something that's very, very important to me. I do see more about support. I think the fact that online and the internet is widely used, you're seeing more ways in which you can find support than in 2003, you know, online resources. In terms of what is the same, I would say that I still hear up to probably at least a year or two ago when I was working closely with parents, that it's very difficult for African-Americans, people of color, to find support near them in many cases. So after there's a loss, it should not require taking three buses and walking a country mile to get to support. Everybody's going to need it afterwards. And if they choose to have it, it should be something that's easily accessible. I'm still finding, in terms of being similar, that things like memory boxes and nice packages for people after the families, after there's been a loss, that doesn't seem to be across the board something that we see. Certain hospitals, you're going to see that always happens, and then other hospitals, it's a fight to get that on a line item for budget.
So many families who experience pregnancy loss, you would talk to them and talk about if they were be interested in helping families who have experienced pregnancy loss, helping them navigate the process in the immediate aftermath of it. And many of them would say, that sounds like the worst thing in the world, because they're reliving the worst day of their life over and over and over again. And that's what you're doing. And I'm curious, why is that something that you have chosen for yourself, and why do you get fulfillment from that?
That is a great question, Chris, and it's one that I have been asked several times in the last probably 13 to 15 years. So, I can only answer it this way, that this was a path. I did not choose this path. I do believe that it was a divine path that chose me. And I say that until the grace to do what I'm doing ends or changes in some way, I have the strength and the ability and the desire to do it. It is a passion. It is certainly not for everybody. And there's, even though it's a path that chose me, it has been sometimes quite draining and challenging at times. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. I get a lot of fulfillment from it because I believe that it was kind of like a confirmation. I kind of had a dream and then I was inspired to write a poem. And it was an imaginary conversation between myself and my stillborn daughter, Sky. And in that poem, she and I were talking back and forth. And she says, Mommy, I want you to go out and start a foundation in my name. There's just too many stillbirths that happen over and over again. And so it was kind of like she gave me a charge to do this. So it was, that was like the confirmation, and it really just propelled me forward.
Well, Nicole, I really appreciate the time you took to appear on our podcast and share your personal story and all your insights with us.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I really appreciate it.
That's all for this episode of the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation. I'm Chris Duffy. Thanks for listening.